Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
What's the complete opposite of the Yankees right now? Complete opposite of the Yankees. Oh, that would be the Mets. As bad as things were to start the year, you can't get any better than what the Mets have done right now. Now, is this level of play sustainable? No, I don't think so. They have flaws as well. But how could you argue with what the Mets have done right now? I am shocked. Now, as we said earlier in the show, and in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. When a team gets to a point where they're 11 games under 500, and we were talking about in May, 11 games under 500, that's a bad team. They usually don't dig out of that. I mean, maybe they do to a certain extent. You usually don't dig out of that, and you certainly don't do it from May 7th to June, whatever it was, 26th. You certainly don't do that. But the Mets have done that. And I really do believe that there's more to it than just the players' production. And I'm not talking about the Grimace effect, although that has been a factor. How can you deny that? Even I can't stop that big purple force anymore. Embrace the Grimace! But it's not just about the players' performance. More importantly, it does start with the team meeting that they had. And it's not just a team meeting. It's what J.D. Martinez said in that team meeting that left an impact. Clearly, that had an impact on each player up and down that lineup. And then there's more. This song that we were just playing there, that Zoo just played it, that Iglesias created, what it did, and by the way, it is a catchy song. Like, it's not my favorite thing, but it is a catchy song. I think it beats Who Let the Dogs Out. No? I mean, remember that one from back in the 24 years ago? Who Let the Dogs Out? Oh, God.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Yeah, the Yankees should use that. You know, there are a bunch of dogs in the outfield. I told BT, that's a song we got for him. But this song is actually like a legit song, and Iglesias is a legit, I guess, Latin pop star. Good for him. And whether you like the song or not, and you can get it, it's available today everywhere. I guess you download singles or whatever, and that's the case. I mean, me personally, I have Apple Music, so it all just comes there. I'm assuming it's on Apple Music. But it's a catchy tune. Catchy song. But more than the song being good, what we're seeing from this Mets team is they're having fun. It's something I criticized Lindor for earlier this year. He didn't look like he was having fun to me. Mr. Smile's not having fun. It's something I knocked the Mets for a year ago. The chemistry wasn't there. The clubhouse wasn't good. I mean, that's been reported since. This feels different. It looks different. And the results are different. Obviously, you need good offense to win ball games. You need some solid starting pitching. But the whole vibe around this team, starting with Carlos Mendoza, the whole vibe has changed. They said, the reporters and people who were on the team in the spring, I did not get a chance to go down there this year, but they said the vibe was different with Mendoza. And then the Mets started 0-5. And then the Mets fell to 11 under. And what was being reported felt hollow because the results didn't back it up. Although I do believe Mendy has shown himself to be a good manager from day one. But it feels different. Holding guys accountable, being transparent with the media, being transparent with his players. And now you're seeing not only a team since the meeting that has bonded with J.D. Martinez, holding guys accountable and telling them to have a plan and, you know, go out there and attack this pitcher with that plan. And if you don't do so, we're going to find out why afterward and all those different things that he's done. You know, moving Lindor to the leadoff spot, that Mendy, the sure, all those things. But you started to see, you're seeing a team really develop still here. But you're starting to see the team come together and have fun. It's baseball. It's a sport. You should be having fun. Martinez, one of the key things he said was, hey, no such thing as pressure. Hey, we lose. What's the worst that could happen? We've been losing anyway. So what? We're going to lose again? Forget that. And once it felt like that pressure was off, and a lot of the knock on this team dating back to last year was you see them wearing the pressure earlier this year, same thing. Once that's off, they're able to go out there and have fun and play baseball. It's why I think Pete is still struggling. McNeil, I think those guys put immense pressure on themselves. And they can't handle it, clearly. Putting too much pressure on them. Let loose, have fun. But to see the Mets celebrating in the dugout, like usually it's not my thing, but I think it's important when teams and players are having fun. And this song by Iglesias is fun. And it has bonded the team here. I mean, how can you not?
Oh, my God. Todo lo malo echado
para Come on, it's catchy. Oh Hop, you're into this too, aren't you? I mean, even you like this song.
I love this.
This is great. Is it available on Apple Music? I'm assuming it is, because I'm going to be listening to it on repeat on the way home.
We saw it on a couple different streaming services. I'm not sure. I didn't look exactly for Apple, but
Spotify,
I'm sure it is.
I know that it's on there. Yeah, I'm not trying to promote any of them. I'm just saying that's what I have, so I'm assuming it's a catchy song. Zoo, I saw you tweeting about it. It's a nice song.
Oh, bro, it's incredible, man. I'm excited to just bump this out like the barbecue while I'm driving.
Yeah, it's gonna going to be. Beach. I'm going to have that playing poolside this weekend.
Oh, you can bet this is going to be bumping throughout the City Field parking lot, too.
It's the song of the season, song of the summer for the New York Mets. But more importantly than the song, which is actually legitimate, it's the bonding. It's the chemistry. Watch the team. Watch them when they hit a home run, how much fun they're having dancing in the dugout. Now, the true test, much like the Yankees are getting right now, is going to be when this team once again hits a little rough patch and goes through adversity. After their newfound success, what happens when they go through adversity? You learn about players. You learn about teams when they go through adversity. The Mets have gone through plenty of that this year already. As Mendy said, after Diaz got pinched with the suspension there, we've been through plenty before. We'll be fine. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. And he's right. 0-5 start, 11 under, fights and this and that and all the poor performances, guys getting hurt, guys getting suspended now. And they've handled it all. But they haven't been successful yet. And now, they're the hottest team in baseball. Best record in the sport in the month of June. The offense is putting up numbers that are atop the game since they've been rolling here since whatever it was in May. Now, when they hit a little bit of a rough patch, which is inevitable, and I'm not talking about losing seven straight or going to the 3-week stretch where they fall back into a typical June swoon that they would have. And they're not going to have that. I don't think they're going to have that. I'm talking about a little rough patch. Start to lose some series here and go the other way. And then the belief from the fans starts to waver a little bit. How's the belief in that dugout going to be? How's the chemistry in that clubhouse going to be? Is it still going to be upbeat and playing the songs and having fun and we'll be okay? Or do they start to press a little bit again? So they need to handle now a different type of adversity. And adversity after you have some success and the expectations have now been raised again and put back on you, how will they handle their next rough patch? It's inevitable, but that is when we're going to really learn about this Mets team. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Ari is calling from West Orange. What's up, Ari?
Hey, how you doing, Sal? Thanks for taking the call. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks for making it. What's up, Ari?
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, I got to bring the Mets fans, back to the Yankees. But, it's a good segment. And, good for the Mets to have themselves very much in major playoff contention. Real quick, with the Yankees, as you mentioned, Cashman, it's not the time to talk about it, right? The time to move on to him, though, was after the 2021 season, when they lost that wild card game to the Red Sox and Boone contracted.
Ari, I got to give you two options. One, get off the speakerphone or whatever you're on. Or two, I got to move on because I can't take it.
All right, one second. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, thank you. Yes, go ahead. Please, go ahead.
Okay, sorry, Sal. As far as you hit the nail on the head with the Yankees, you know, the bully mentality. You know, we saw this in 2022. We saw this in 2023. Last year they told us, oh, you're crazy. Donaldson, Hicks, they are back. They're back to their being everyday players, and they're going to put great numbers. We all knew that was baloney, and it was so predictable it would happen. Same thing this year. Yeah, DJ LeMahieu, he had a great second half last year. Rizzo, he's fully healthy. They're going to be great for us this year. It was the same exact script. You knew that was coming. So you're right. You can't trust them. You can't say that all of a sudden they're going to figure it out. You said it, and I agree 100%. This team has so many holes. You can't just patch up first base, second base, third base, maybe left field, definitely catcher, starting rotation, bullpen. You can't patch all of it up at the trade deadline. You know, and again, frankly, I don't really have confidence they can do anything at the trade deadline. Last year, if you remember, you know, I called you, I think the day after, and they did the worst possible thing at the deadline a year ago. They did nothing. So based on track record, you know, that's kind of like what I see happening. They're going to say, oh, we're going to get Stan back. We're going to get Rizzo back. You'll see. We're going to be just fine, and that's that. The script is predictable. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to lose in the wild card round because they don't have the luxury like they had 2 years ago of having a big division lead. Baltimore is right there with them. I think they're going to surpass them. So they're either going to lose that wild card round, or maybe they get another. They win there and then lose in the division series.
Look, it's such a predictable script. You bring up a lot of good points, Ari, and thank you for the call. Even when they were at their best, they still got beat by Baltimore. Now that the Yankees are showing massive flaws, and by the way, other teams go through rough stretches too. So it's not like, oh my God, what has happened to the Yankees here? But it is a little surprising, being with the way that they played at such a high level for the majority of the year, to see them be non-competitive in these games. Major flaws have been exposed. I'm not going to make a prediction what's going to happen like you did, Ari, as far as them getting to the postseason and losing in the first round of the wild card. I wouldn't be stunned if that were the case. I will say my gut feel is that this team is not going to the World Series, and that will be a failure. Now, there is a way out of this. We said it before. There is a way out. It's not like the Yankees locked into being dominant for the, you know, better part of the season. Volpe, Soto, Judge, I still believe is as good as it gets. If not, you know, I throw Volpe in there because I still believe in him being an impact bat, and a future superstar. I really think he's that good. But Judge and Soto being so much better than everybody else, that to me is what makes that triumphant. Those three, really good and the best in baseball. For me, you could say you take the Dodgers, fine. I'm taking Volpe, Soto, and Judge. The problem is there can't be the drop-off that significant behind that. Verdugo is not a cleanup hitter. Never was, never will be. He had a nice little run. It's over. Back to reality. Like B-Rabbit, back to reality. Verdugo's got to go down to the sixth spot. If the Yankees are relying on Rizzo or LeMahieu or Torres, they're making a big mistake. Fix that. Now, you can't go trade for everybody, but they've got to be able to clean that up somehow. I'd have Cabrera take over one of those spots, and then maybe you go try and trade for the other one. Clearly, a big part of this is going to be getting either Stanton or Dominguez back. That's got to be a part of this. There's a way out, but the way out is not easy. You have to hope to get Stanton or Dominguez back from injury and then have them perform at a high level again. That's part one of the plan. Part two would be upgrade first base, second base, third base. Two of those positions have to be upgraded. I'll live with catcher because you can't upgrade everything. Oh, and by the way, then you have to go, you know, get a bullpen arm and then hope that Heel returns to form, Rodon returns to form, and Gerrit Cole is Gerrit Cole. That's a lot of hoping there. But there's not, oh, well, Cashman's got to go do this and do that. He can't. There's too many things to be done. So part of the turnaround has to come from hope that these guys who have done it, even at a, you know, small sample size before, that they come back and do it again. Because without that, they don't have a shot. Alvin is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Alvin?
Hi, Alvin. Hello. Hi, how you doing?
Great. What's up?
I wanted to speak on the Yankees for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people don't realize. I mean, I've been hearing the fans since they opened up. This is my second time calling.
Appreciate that.
It kicked me through my job. It made my day. I'm about to retire. But a lot of people don't realize is that the Yankees, in the beginning, they were catching a lot of teams that they wasn't on their feet. And they were carrying over a team that wasn't that good. So you look at the team like the Houston, you won't beat Houston 6-7 now. In the beginning, it wasn't peaking. Now, the Yankees got a good team, but they have too many holes to fill. It's actually too many holes. Besides Judge and Volpe and Soto, Verdugo's a good fielder, but he's not a good hitter.
Well, he'll be okay. Alvin, I think Verdugo will be better, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. Thank you for taking the time to make that call. Verdugo would be okay if he's back in his normal role as a 6/7 hitter. Let's say 6 for the time being because the Yankees don't have anything else. But that's part of the problem is that, you know, if you looked closely, and we talked about this even when the Yankees were going well in the beginning of the year. Oh, you're crazy, Sal. You're hating on the Yankees. No, I just see the flaws that other people weren't seeing. 4, 5, 6 was always the issue to me. I trusted Verdugo in the 7 spot to do his job as a guy who's going to lengthen out that lineup. I could live with Trevino catching down there or Wells, whatever you want to say, and Cabrera at the time when he was filling in for LeMahieu batting. I'm like, I'm fine with 7, 8, 9. That's okay. 4, 5, 6 was the issue. Now, obviously, Stanton was playing very well. And I didn't trust him even when he was going well, but he was playing very well and producing. So you were okay there, but I just didn't trust it. Rizzo was a part of that, and Glaber's a part of that. Those guys can't be trusted. So even if Verdugo's not the problem, he's struggling right now, he's killing them, but he's killing them because he's being asked to do something that he shouldn't be being asked to do. Verdugo's not a cleanup hitter. So move him to the 6th spot. Okay, now how do we fix 4-5? That's the question. Can you trade for a 5 hitter? Like, let's say the Yankees did trade for Vladdy. Okay, fine. Vladdy could be the 4 hitter on this team. You're still going to need either Giancarlo or Dominguez to come back and be that 5 hitter. Then you have Verdugo 6, and you could probably even live with Glaber, although I wouldn't want Glaber for different reasons. I'm not talking about the lineup. I wouldn't want him for defensive, just losing player mentality, or not even losing player mentality, losing player period in the postseason. But you could live with the catcher spot. You could live with Oswaldo or, you know, Birdie if he comes back, whatever, at third base. And maybe you upgrade one of those spots via, I don't know, trade, bring somebody up from the mind. I mean, if you're trading for Vladdy, obviously it's going to take a lot out. So, but that's with trading for Vladdy. Is that even realistic? It's not going to fit. Even if you did trade for Vladdy, great. You still need Giancarlo or Dominguez back. And you still have questions at least for one of the spots from 7, 8, 9. Not to mention the starting pitching and the bullpen. But it's not Verdugo's fault because he's been asked to be a cleanup hitter. And he was having success doing so when it first started. So was the Yankees as a byproduct, of course. But that's just not, we've seen it. He's not that guy. And they'll be better off lengthening out that lineup with him hitting 6th or 7th. The problem is, how are you going to get there? That middle of the order. There's a great drop-off with Volpe after Volpe, Soto, and Judge. And you can't just say, well, then move somebody up. Oh, well, why not have Glaber?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
lead off and move Volpe down. I'm not messing with that top three. The point would be to add to it.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Drums, please.
BT, it's Al back on The Fan. Love this song. It is indeed summertime, although it felt like fall today. Walking in, after I got off the PATH train, walking to the... Isn't it like a fall type day? It's not like...
It's like low-key like in the 60s.
Yeah. I'm like, I may be underdressed. I don't have TV today. I don't know SNY for me. I took off. I was actually supposed to go out east this weekend. And then, of course, you know, my wife makes plans with the family, with her family. Oh, we're supposed to go out east. And then that falls through, and I'm like, well, I already took off of work. Like, don't you understand? If I ask off, that means they take me off the schedule. And I don't get to work. I want to work. So I couldn't get back on the SNY schedule, so I was off for that. We actually got friends coming in. Saratoga Wills is coming in this weekend. We're going to go to Rails tonight. Cannot wait. Nice little steak dinner. Hang out by the pool this weekend. Although, if it's fall weather, what are we looking at? We got a forecast for this weekend? I haven't checked. They haven't had time to check.
Yeah, so
weekend.
We actually got 80s throughout the weekend.
Ooh,
and it's
going like
to touch
it.
90 on Sunday, but it's going to rain.
Wait, on Sunday? Okay, Saturday is the key day for me. That's tomorrow's. The plan basically tomorrow for me is poolside, surf sides all day long. That's what
you'll
we're
be
looking
good.
Woo! I like the sound of that, Zoo. Little Rails tonight. Get settled in. And then tomorrow, pool, little barbecue, all surf sides all day long. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, it felt like a fall day. And I'm dressed in like gym shorts and a t-shirt because no TV. Usually with TV, I'll go over there and want to look halfway, somewhat professional, halfway professional. Usually wear pants. But now I'm dressed like BT. You know, I come in with gym shorts and BT, of course, enjoying the day off. But it is a beautiful, after the heat wave last week, oh man, I'll take this any day of the week. I love this, the coolness in the air. But being poolside, I'll take that 80-degree weather as well. And now with the Mets being on a heater, and the Yankees not so much must-watch at this particular point, although you're watching to see how bad it could get. But the Mets and Astros begin a big series tonight. I'll be watching and try to bring that TV outside and watch some of those games outside. Mike is calling from Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal. So listen, I'm a huge Mets fan, and I'm really excited about what's happening. I was going to call about the Yankees because, you know, something that I want to talk about is Bevy and Bader. You know, they're playing better with the Mets, I think, than they did with the Yankees a year or so ago. And everyone was criticizing those moves like it was the Yankees garbage. But so wouldn't that put into question that maybe the Mets are coaching up their guys better as well?
No, I'm not gonna go that far, Mike, especially not with Bader. With Bader, he was good with the Yankees when healthy. He was great in the postseason when he first got there. Bader is what he is. He's a decent bat. He's a serviceable bat. I mean, he's been maybe better than that with the Mets, but I expect him to level out a little bit. He's been good. Yep. I'm not trying to knock him, but he's basically a defensive center fielder. He's a guy who's going to bat the bottom of the order. You don't rely on him for offense, but you can get major league production there, and you get great play defensively in center field. Severino, yes, but maybe just a change of scenery benefited him. He has been a different pitcher. He's been what he used to be with the Yankees.
Yeah, but listen, these Mets are having fun, and Soto sees it. He sees all of it, and so Soto, don't stay with those Yankees. They're boring. Ooh. If they sign you, they will not be able to sign players around you. The Mets have young players in there. They're coming up. We can sign you and add players. The Mets is where it's at. Let's go, Los Mets.
Oh, look at you, Mike. A little pitch to Juan Soto, and thank you for the call. Don't get me started on Soto. No BT here today to keep me in check. You know. Now, I'm not into the optics of things. That was more BT's thing, and I think a lot of people were saying the same thing, optics. Well, you know, the Yankees are playing great. He's a perfect fit. Why would he go to the Mets? The Mets are awful. They're embarrassing. They're making, they're LOL Mets. And now, things done changed. Now, all of a sudden, Soto may be saying, oh, I don't know if I like it here so much. We're getting our teeth kicked in every night. And look at the Mets. OMG. They're having fun.
Oh, my God. Todo lo malo echado para allá.
Soto, I'm sure he likes this song. Hey, we need Iglesias to come up with a song, a pop hit that could that he could make a pitch to Juan Soto to come join the Mets. Soto is still a possibility. All those things that I felt last offseason about the Mets being headed in the right direction, believing in Steve Cohen. I believe in Steve. All those things, and the Yankees going the wrong way, all those things are actually still in play. The Yankees right now don't look like a team that is on the rise or a World Series-bound team. Now, again, that can change, but this could really fall apart here. What if the Yankees don't get it together and they do go out early in the postseason and they do lose Juan Soto? Yankees got a mess on their hands. This is not an easy fix here. And that's kind of the point before that I was making, that they need to rely. There's just no way around it. You can't get rid of everybody and bring in everybody at the trade deadline. They need to rely on some of these guys in-house to do their jobs. If they don't, the Yankees aren't going to win the World Series, and it will be another failure. Whether it's Rodon, whether it's Heal, whether it's Cole, Stanton, Dominguez, Rizzo, like at some point, Glaber, at some point, some of the guys that are here now have to contribute for the Yankees to get to or win a World Series. And I have some serious doubts with that. Eric is calling from Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
Yo, how we doing, buddy?
Great, Eric.
Happy Friday to you. So, yeah, no BT today. So, yeah, it makes it a little easier for you to come in on the Yanks, and I totally get it.
Oh, believe
they
me.
They are abysmal right now.
Believe me, Eric, it's not easier for me, because if BT were here, and I was already texting with him this morning, he'd be doing the same thing, and he'd probably be even harder on the Yankees, to be honest with you. I'm giving him a,
I would agree
I'm a,
with that.
Yeah, I'm almost giving him a pass. I'm not that I'm giving him a pass, but I think that ultimately they'll be okay as far as getting to the postseason. BT would be lighting them all up today.
I completely agree. I mean, I think, yes, the Yankees are going to make the playoffs, but it's a matter of what are they going to do when they get there. And right now, I mean, you've got some glaring issues, and you make the biggest point, which is they need some of the guys that are there to show up. I mean, as much as I'm like, I am no supporter of Gleyber Torres, and I don't love him. He's the most frustrating baseball player I think I've ever watched.
Yeah.
But he needs to show up. I mean, the numbers that he's putting up right now, it looks like he's going to finish the year with, what, 12 home runs and 50 RBIs? That can't happen. He needs to show up. DJ LeMahieu, that guy's cooked. I mean, he's got, what, 12 hits since he came back, all of which are singles? Not a single extra base hit out of this guy? That's a problem. DJ's cooked. So what do they do with the trade deadline is the question. And I think, you know, I would love to see them go after Ryan McMahon. I think he's a perfect solution on the infield. Vladdy, well, to me, yeah. I mean, I think he would be a great, you know, solution at the
five.
Yeah,
you're not getting both those guys, though.
Give up.
You're not getting both those guys. It's not realistic.
That's the question, right? How is that realistic in any way? I mean, the bullpen doesn't concern me. I know that, like, Cashman always seems to find a way of guys that, you know, we've never even heard of and figuring out a way to make the bullpen work. So I'm not worried about that. It's position players and the lineup that is a significant problem. I mean, I'm even considering, like, do you separate Soto and Judge, which is insanity, but, like, maybe you do. Like, do you?
I wouldn't do that.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm not messing with that, and thank you for the call, Eric. The analogy that I would make is that, you know, if your arm is hurt and you start throwing a different way to compensate for that, then everything else gets out of whack. I'm not trying to compensate for the lack of depth in their lineup by messing with the perfect part of a lineup. Like, you can't be more perfect than Soto and Judge. So I'm not messing with that. But I'm glad you brought up BT and you started talking about a lot of things that BT said a week ago. 1 week ago today, going to that Braves series, he was saying they're not good enough. Top to bottom of the lineup, not good enough. They weren't built right. Basically saying that he was wrong for getting sucked into believing in this team, and should have originally stuck with his initial thought that Cashman didn't do enough. They needed to do more. How? I think the question now is, how are the Yankees going to fix this? Because you could talk about the trade deadline and what you think they're going to add. It's not realistic to expect them to fix all of their issues. You cannot fix half the lineup. So then it comes down to the same thing. Are you going to rely on LeMahieu to turn around? Rizzo? Stanton? Glaber? And the biggest issue with Glaber, for me, it's always been that he's a losing player. But you could at least justify it to a certain extent, because he would hit and he would be one of the better offensive second basemen. Well, now you desperately need something from him offensively with the other guys out, and you're getting nothing. But you're right. Part of their turnaround is going to have to come from Gleyber Torres doing something. I don't expect it. I wouldn't count on it, but they're going to need to have that happen. You can't just go get at the deadline. Oh, yeah, we need, like, the Yankees checklist going into the deadline is longer than, you know, my daughter's list for Santa. Like, okay, we need a first baseman, second baseman, third baseman, could use an upgraded catcher as well, could use some depth on the bench, could use another starter with the way that Rodon and Heel have been going here and no Clark Schmidt, could use a bullpen arm or two. Like, oh, is that all? Anything else you need? Why don't you add a general manager to the list? Like, well, I mean, how are you going to fix all that? You can't. You can't fix it all from the outside. Some of that is going to have to be done from within. So then the question becomes, can the guys that they relied on from within to bounce back, can they bounce back? And based on everything we've seen, I don't know how you can say the answer to that is yes.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Sal back on The Fan. BT is off on this summer Friday, 888-808-1019. We'll be taking your calls until 2 o'clock, of course. I'll tell you, I had this revelation yesterday. I was talking to, actually, I think it was Jerry Blevins. We were talking about this in the SNY newsroom. And I'm at a point in my life where I don't think I'm going to do anything I don't want to do anymore. I just don't want to do it. Like, if you invite me to something and I don't want to go, and yes, I'm talking to you, family members. If you invite me to something that I don't want to go to, I'm not going. End of story. Like, certain things, I guess I have to suck up, you know, if I do want to stay married. But we're like, think about this. Why in life do we do so many things we really don't want to do? Don't take offense if somebody says, nah, I'm good. Like, I like you. You're cool. We can hang out on occasion when our paths cross, but ultimately, I'm good. And I'm probably just about to enter a hellish zone as my daughter starts to get older and 3 years old and is going to make, you know, friends in school or does these dance things. Like, I want to get out in front of it. I don't want to do it. Like, luckily, I don't have anything that I don't want to do this weekend. I'm good to go. But in the event, like next weekend, actually, you know, we move into the new town, new neighborhood, and then the neighbors want to have you over. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. I don't have enough time for myself or the people that I actually know and love. Barely have enough time for that. I mean, my office is still a mess. The one thing I want to do that gives me peace is organize my stuff. I want to be left alone in my office, organize my stuff, put the ball game on in the background, and be left alone. I haven't been able to do that in months. And yet I have to find time next week to go to the neighbor's house because they want us over to meet the neighbors. And really because my wife wants me to go. Now, when you get married, you're making certain sacrifices. You just, like, you know it. Maybe you didn't know it all the way. I remember my father saying, you sure you want to do this? I'm like, what do you mean? Dad, of course. You know Marina. She's great. Like, he's like, you sure you want to get married? I'm like, yeah, come on. At the time, I'm thinking, Dad, come on. 7 years later, I know why you asked me that, Dad. I know why you asked me that. And I get why my wife wants to meet the neighbor. It's nice for her. Maybe have another friend. She's home all day. Maybe the kids could play, whatever. But does it really need to involve me? Do I have to go to this? Now, I'm going to do it. I will honor prior commitments that I have made. But after that, I am now on record. I am not doing anything anymore that I don't want to do. And it's not that I'm mean. It's not that I'm rude. It's just that I care about me. You know what I'm saying, Huff? Like, you get to a point in life, we do so many things for others. And I'm not even saying just me, but like, you know, me and my family. I don't want to start doing things that I don't want to do. You feel obligated to go.
oh, you know, we have this and that, and you know, I don't want to do it anymore. Life's too short to be wasting time.
Well, we don't. Yes, you specifically don't have time anyway because you're doing a thousand other things. But
yeah, well,
how do you say no though?
You just say, well, that's what I mean. So you're right. This is the exact conversation that we're having with Jerry. You just say no. No, it shouldn't be that hard. See, the reason why you wouldn't say no is because you feel bad. You feel guilty. So now you're sacrificing your true feelings and yourself and what you want to do because you feel bad to let the other person down. All I'm saying is no. I'm good. Thank you. I appreciate the invite. I don't want to go. Now, that person shouldn't take offense to that. It doesn't mean that, like, if you invite me, like, let's pretend, Hop, invite me to your kid's game or some bull crap.
So, over the weekend, JD has a nice doubleheader somewhere in Connecticut.
Nice.
We would love to have you there, Sal.
You know what? That sounds great. I'm good, though. I appreciate the invite. Hope JD knocks him out of the ballpark. I'm good.
Yeah, but JD would really love to have you there. He's a big fan of yours. Yes. You would make his day.
You know what? Bring him in studio next week. I'll talk to him after. All good. Like, you shouldn't feel bad that I don't want to go. It's not a knock on JD or you or our relationship. It's just that I don't want to go.
Yeah, well, you should hear what JD said about you just now.
Right. So I do think there's that, like, the neighbors are going to be upset. You have to go. I don't give a crap how they feel. How they feel is how they feel. I'm not a bad person. I'm a nice guy. If I'm taking out the garbage or going to get the mail and I see you, I'll wave. Hey, how you doing, neighbor? I don't want to have a conversation with you. I want to keep it moving. Hey, you know why? Because I got stuff to do. You want to have a conversation with me? Call me at 888-808-1019. I'm there 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. We can talk about anything you want. Call me then. Not now. I got stuff to do. I want to go home and put stuff away. All right. Let's get back to the phone. John is calling from Bergen County, New Jersey. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
All right. Yeah, just a couple of things. I have a trade that I'm just putting in my head. But The first thing is, you know, it's like a role rehearsal with these Mets and Yankees. You know, the beginning of the year, the Mets were terrible. Now the Yankees are terrible. I mean, hopefully we both come together at the end and we get ourselves a little series.
I do think ultimately, John, both teams will be playoff teams. Like, you know, saying the Yankees are going to be a playoff team is not saying anything special, but I think that both teams we're going to have. Now, I don't think it's going to be a Subway Series, but we're going to have the opportunity for it going into the postseason. I really believe both teams will be playoff teams, which is great because last year neither team sniffed the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let me give you the trade proposal.
Okay.
So, Beatty the second baseman, the Yankee second baseman.
Glaber? You're talking about Glaber Torres? I'm not doing it, John, and thank you for the call. I don't think it's outlandish why you would bring that up, although I'd be curious which perspective you were bringing it up from, which makes it not an unfair trade. I don't think Brett Beatty is going to be a major leaguer, but I'm also not giving him up for Gleyber Torres. I don't want Gleyber Torres if I'm the Yankees or the Mets on my team. So if I'm the Mets, I'm not trading for him. If the Yankees are looking to move him, so from a Yankees perspective, would I trade him for Brett Beatty? Probably not. I mean, I guess you could put Beatty a third. Yeah, I would do that from the Yankees' perspective. From a Mets' perspective, I would not do that because you have a player with potential, with years of control, and you're trading for a player that is not very good, especially right now. What is Gleyber Torres going to do for the Mets? Gleyber is a losing player. He belongs on some team who's not going to make the playoffs, go give them empty stats, if he could even do that at this particular point, and have a solid major league career. He's not good enough for the New York Yankees. And I wouldn't want him on my team. And you're just not going to give up, if you're the Mets, a player with potential and years of control. The issue that the Mets have with Beatty is that they moved him to second base. He's not a second baseman. He's not a good defensive player to begin with, but he doesn't have quick feet. He's not smooth. There's no, like, it's like, well, imagine Wilmer Fuller is trying to play shortstop like the Mets did. And I told him he's not a shortstop. They learned eventually, but he wasn't a shortstop. You can't just force certain things. Can't force the round peg in a square hole or something like that. That's what they're doing with Beatty, just trying to get his bat in the lineup potentially at second base, because at third base, it looks like it's going to be Mark Vientos for this year. Justin is calling from Delray Beach. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Sal. How are you doing today?
How are you, Justin?
I'm good, brother. First-time caller. big Mets fan. I was thinking last night, right, about the Yankees, okay? And it, all of a sudden, being a Mets fan for so long and having to live through the 90s and obviously watching the things we watched, me and you, Sal, right, kind of breaks your heart. But it's kind of disappointing to be a Yankees fan because they've now become the Dallas Cowboys of baseball. Every year, it starts the same way. America's team, 27 rings. We're going to win it all. We got Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. They start playing 500 teams. All of a sudden, it ain't so good no more. They get to the playoffs, early exit once again. Can you believe it? This is just the last 10 years. This is what the Yankees do.
You know,
I got to say, as a Mets fan, I'm sorry, Sal.
No, go ahead. As a Mets fan, it's really tearing you up inside, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Killing me. Play. Oh, my God.
You got Justin. Thank you for the call. Justin having a little fun right there with, of course, at the expense of the Yankees. Hard to argue that. And I'm not going to say the Dallas Cowboys. Yankees have had more recent success than Dallas has as far as the ultimate success. Like 2009, it's a long time ago now, but it feels longer because it's the Yankees and they're held to the highest of standards. I'm not giving up on this season if I'm the Yankees, but I haven't seen anything to believe that it's going to be any different moving forward. Why would you think? I could see why you would say that earlier in the season, and I felt it too. But now, after you've seen the ugliness that this Yankee team can bring, why should we believe that it's going to be any different come October than it's been in years past? I'm sorry, but they're going to have to earn it in October. There's nothing they could do now. I don't care if they go on the hottest run, win 110 games the rest of the way, which is still possible, not likely, but still possible. I don't care if they do that. They're going to have to prove it in October. They couldn't even prove it throughout the course of the entire regular season so far, where Rodon comes crashing back down, Verdugo in a bit of a rut, Stanton gets hurt, LeMahieu and Rizzo look washed. A lot of things that were still up to be proved or up for debate going into the year, they have not turned in favor of the Yankees. Based on everything we've seen, I don't know how you can say the answer to that is yes.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. BT is off on this summer Friday, 888-808-1019. Be taking your calls until 2 o'clock, of course. I'll tell you, I had this revelation yesterday. I was talking to, actually, I think it was Jerry Blevins. We were talking about this in the SNY newsroom. And I'm at a point in my life where I don't think I'm going to do anything I don't want to do anymore. I just don't want to do it. Like, if you invite me to something and I don't want to go, and yes, I'm talking to you, family members. If you invite me to something that I don't want to go to, I'm not going. End of story. Like, certain things, I guess I have to suck up, you know, if I do want to stay married. But we're like, think about this. Why in life do we do so many things we really don't want to do? Don't take offense if somebody says, nah, I'm good. Like, I like you. You're cool. We can hang out on occasion when our paths cross, but ultimately, I'm good. And I'm probably just about to enter a hellish zone as my daughter starts to get older and 3 years old and is going to make, you know, friends in school or does these dance things. Like, I want to get out in front of it. I don't want to do it. Like, luckily, I don't have anything that I don't want to do this weekend. I'm good to go. But in the event, like next weekend, actually, you know, we move into the new town, new neighborhood, and then the neighbors want to have you over. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. I don't have enough time for myself or the people that I actually know and love. Barely have enough time for that. I mean, my office is still a mess. The one thing I want to do that gives me peace is organize my stuff. I want to be left alone in my office, organize my stuff, put the ball game on in the background, and be left alone. I haven't been able to do that in months. And yet I have to find time next week to go to the neighbor's house because they want us over to meet the neighbors. And really because my wife wants me to go. Now, when you get married, you're making certain sacrifices. You just, like, you know it. Maybe you didn't know it all the way. I remember my father saying, "You sure you want to do this?" I'm like, what do you mean? "Dad, of course. You know Marina. She's great. Like, what's..." He's like, "You sure you want to get married?" I'm like, "Yeah, come on." At the time, I'm thinking, "Dad, come on." 7 years later, I know why you asked me that, Dad. I know why you asked me that. And I get why my wife wants to meet the neighbor. It's nice for her. Maybe you have another friend. She's home all day. Maybe the kids could play, whatever. But does it really need to involve me? Do I have to go to this? Now, I'm going to do it. I will honor prior commitments that I have made. But after that, I am now on record. I am not doing anything anymore that I don't want to do. And it's not that I'm mean. It's not that I'm rude. It's just that I care about me. You know what I'm saying, Huff? Like, you get to a point in life, we do so many things for others. And I'm not even saying just me, but like, you know, me and my... I don't want to start doing things that I don't want to do. You feel obligated to go. Oh, you know, we have this and that. And I don't want to do it anymore. Life's too short to be wasting time.
Well, we don't... Yes, you specifically don't have time anyway because you're doing 1,000 other things. But
yeah, well,
how do you say no, though?
Well, that's what I mean. So you're right. This is the exact conversation that we're having with Jerry. You just say no. No, it shouldn't be that hard. See, the reason why you wouldn't say no is because you feel bad. You feel guilty. So now you're sacrificing your true feelings and yourself and what you want to do because you feel bad to let the other person down. All I'm saying is no. I'm good. Thank you. I appreciate the invite. I don't want to go. Now, that person shouldn't take offense to that. It doesn't mean that, if you invite me, let's pretend, Hop, invite me to your kid's game or some bull crap.
So, over the weekend, JD has a nice doubleheader somewhere, cool. Connecticut.
Nice.
We would love to have you there, Sal.
You know what? That sounds great. I'm good, though. I appreciate the invite. Hope JD knocks him out of the ballpark. I'm good.
Yeah, but JD would really love to have you there. He's a big fan of yours. Yes. You would make his day.
You know what? Bring him in studio next week. I'll talk to him after. All good. Like, you shouldn't feel bad that I don't want to go. It's not a knock on JD or you or our relationship. It's just that I don't want to go.
Yeah, well, you should hear what JD said about you just now.
Right. So I do think there's that, like, the neighbors are going to be upset. You have to go. I don't give a crap how they feel. How they feel is how they feel. I'm not a bad person. I'm a nice guy. If I'm taking out the garbage or going to get the mail and I see you, I'll wave. Hey, how you doing, neighbor? I don't want to have a conversation with you. I want to keep it moving. Hey, you know why? Because I got stuff to do. You want to have a conversation with me? Call me at 888-808-1019. I'm there 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. We can talk about anything you want. Call me then. Not now. I got stuff to do. I want to go home and put stuff away. All right. Let's get back to the phone. John is calling from Bergen County, New Jersey. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
All right. Yeah, just a couple of things. I have a trade that I'm just putting in my head. But The first thing is, you know, it's like a role rehearsal with these Mets and Yankees. You know, the beginning of the year, the Mets were terrible. Now the Yankees are terrible. I mean, hopefully we both come together at the end and we got ourselves a little series.
I do think ultimately, John, both teams will be playoff teams. Like, you know, saying the Yankees are going to be a playoff team is not saying anything special, but I think that both teams we're going to have now. I don't think it's going to be a Subway Series, but we're going to have the opportunity for it going into the postseason. I really believe both teams will be playoff teams, which is great because last year neither team sniffed the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. And, hey, let me give you the trade proposal.
Okay.
So, Beatty what's his name? The second baseman, the Yankee second baseman.
Glaber? You're talking about Glaber Torres? Yeah, I'm not doing it, John, and thank you for the call. I don't think it's outlandish why you would bring that up. Although I'd be curious which perspective you're bringing it up from, which makes it not an unfair trade. I don't think Brett Beatty is going to be a major leaguer, but I'm also not giving him up for Gleyber Torres. I don't want Gleyber Torres if I'm the Yankees or the Mets on my team. So if I'm the Mets, I'm not trading for him. If the Yankees are looking to move him, so from a Yankees perspective, would I trade him for Brett Beatty? probably not. I mean, I guess you could put Beatty a third. Yeah, I would do that from the Yankees' perspective. From a Mets' perspective, I would not do that because you have a player with potential, with years of control, and you're trading for a player that is not very good, especially right now. What is Gleyber Torres going to do for the Mets? Gleyber is a losing player. He belongs on some team who's not going to make the playoffs. Go give them empty stats, if he could even do that at this particular point, and have a solid major league career. He's not good enough for the New York Yankees. And I wouldn't want him on my team. And you're just not going to give up, if you're the Mets, a player with potential and years of control. The issue that the Mets have with Beatty is that they moved him to second base. He's not a second baseman. He's not a good defensive player to begin with, but he doesn't have quick feet. He's not smooth. There's no, like, it's like, well, imagine Wilmer Fuller is trying to play shortstop like the Mets did. And I told him he's not a shortstop. They learned eventually, but he wasn't a shortstop. You can't just force certain things. Can't force the round peg in a square hole or something like that. That's what they're doing with Beatty, just trying to get his bat in the lineup potentially at second base, because at third base, it looks like it's going to be Mark Vientos for this year. Justin is calling from Delray Beach. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Sal. How are you doing today?
How are you, Justin?
I'm good, brother. First-time caller, big Mets fan. I was thinking last night, right, about the Yankees, okay? And it, all of a sudden, being a Mets fan for so long and having to live through the 90s and obviously watching the things we watched, me and you, Sal, right, kind of breaks your heart. But it's kind of disappointing to be a Yankees fan, because they've now become the Dallas Cowboys of baseball. Every year, it starts the same way. It starts the same way. America's team, 27 rings. We're going to win it all. We got Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. They start playing 500 teams. All of a sudden, it ain't so good no more. They get to the playoffs, early exit once again. Can you believe it? This is just the last 10 years. This is what the Yankees do.
You know,
and I got to say, as a Mets fan, I'm sorry, Sal.
No, go ahead. As a Mets fan, it's really tearing you up inside, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Killing me. Play. Oh, my God.
You got Justin. Thank you for the call. Justin having a little fun right there with, of course, at the expense of the Yankees. Hard to argue that. And I'm not going to say the Dallas Cowboys. Yankees have had more recent success than Dallas has as far as the ultimate success. Like 2009, it's a long time ago now, but it feels longer because it's the Yankees and they're held to the highest of standards. I'm not giving up on this season if I'm the Yankees, but I haven't seen anything to believe that it's going to be any different moving forward. Why would you think, I could see why you would say that earlier in the season, and I felt it too. But now, after you've seen the ugliness that this Yankee team can bring, why should we believe that it's going to be any different come October than it's been in years past? I'm sorry, but they're going to have to earn it in October. There's nothing they could do now. I don't care if they go on the hottest run, win 110 games the rest of the way, which is still possible, not likely, but still possible. I don't care if they do that. They're going to have to prove it in October. They couldn't even prove it throughout the course of the entire regular season so far, where Rodon comes crashing back down, Verdugo in a bit of a rut, Stanton gets hurt, LeMahieu and Rizzo look washed. A lot of things that were still up to be proved or up for debate going into the year, they have not turned in favor of the Yankees.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.